This is an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Brad C. Anderson teaches undergrad business courses at a university. That's his day job. He's also the author of the science fiction novel Duotero. Brad joins us via Zoom from Vancouver, British Columbia. Hi, Brad.
Hello, how's it going?
Just tickety-boo. Thanks very much for being on the program with us. So when you put your head on the pillow at night, what do you go to sleep thinking you're mostly? Are you mostly a teacher or mostly a writer?
When I go to sleep at night, it's all stories in my head. That's what lulls me to sleep at night, is the stories in my head. So that probably makes me more of a writer at night.
So first of all, let's explain the title, Duotero. What exactly does that mean?
It means second earth.
Ah.
Yeah. It's funny. So it's actually Esperanto, which is like a manufactured language. I wanted to use a language that seemed and felt real. And the best way to do that was to actually use a language that was real, but that nobody actually knew about or used. So, yeah, I learned a little bit of Esperanto when I was writing this. And Duotero is Esperanto, second earth.
And Klingon is so yesterday, right?
And Klingon is so yesterday. That's so 1990s.
Yeah, exactly. So what is Duotero about?
Yeah. So the main character, Credo, he lives on this lost colony of Earth that's been struggling to survive for a couple of centuries. And something has changed in the natural environment, and the colony is starting to collapse. And they don't understand why. They've lost a lot of the technologies of old, and they're struggling to figure it out.
Now, when it comes to science fiction, most people who write science fiction are really telling a story about ourselves in a futuristic way. Is this what you're doing as well?
I would say, yeah. That's kind of what science fiction is at the end of the day, I suppose. And that's true in this case as well.
Are you, or were you growing up, a fan of science fiction? Is this the genre you always wanted to write in?
You know, it's funny. I do love science fiction. I always have. When I read, I tend to read sort of between science fiction and fantasy. But whenever I sit down, whenever I have a story in my head, it comes out as science fiction. I don't know if that makes sense or not. I read pretty much everything, heavily sci-fi and fantasy. But the stories that come out are sci-fi, it seems.
Since I asked the question about the parallels of what might be going on in the world, do you think science fiction writers secretly just really want to fix our world as it stands right now?
Well, I think that's a large part of it. And I think a lot of it is, so I think there's a number of reasons or a number of motivations. Part of it probably is to fix things. Part of it is to, the thing that you can do with science fiction that's hard to do with other types of fiction is that you can remove the reader from like the real world views that they have, right? You create, through world building, you create an alternate reality that gives people distance, and then you can explore these themes, right? That if you had it in a real world setting and you actually attach names and people that were real to it and groups that were real to it, people have those allegiances to those groups and they have that vested interest and they might not be able to separate themselves. So I think a lot of sci-fi writers use the genre so that you can explore these themes kind of in isolation. Like, let's not look at our society. Let's look at this made-up society and explore these types of themes and ideas where we can get a little bit of distance from it so we can look at it a little bit more objectively. So I think that's part of that is to help society improve. Part of it is to just, let's think about things in a more objective, rational way. Pull some lessons that we can pull into real life. And then I think the other reason why sci-fi writers write is to, let's explore future possibilities. Like if this technology progresses the way it is, let's see what that might look like. Is there something, should we be worried about things? Let's explore. Let's see the different paths that this technology could take in the future and use that to help us make decisions about it in the present day. So yeah, I guess probably all of that feeds into trying to make the world a little bit of a better place. Then you get pulpy sci-fi, which is all about laser battles.
Well, do you ever think that the science fiction writers of the world are sort of the catalyst to the engineers and the heavy thinkers of the world to give them a spark of ingenuity to do something right
I would like to believe so. I mean, you know, when you look at people in the sciences now and you ask like, hey, you know, how many of them are inspired by, you know, Star Trek growing up and things like that, right? So I absolutely think that that science fiction can be inspirational to people. My original background was in the sciences and I loved sci-fi growing up. And I can't consciously think of like this book made me go into this science, but I was sort of immersed in this and just created this interest in science, sort of gave, you know, gives you these sensibilities of what science can be and how you can use it. It gives you a sense of maybe optimism about science or has the potential. There's a lot of dystopias out nowadays. But yeah, I absolutely think that part of sci-fi is to create that inspiration, to create that pot, you know, give people some caution about some things, as well as inspiration to, you know, we can solve these problems.
Was there anything in sci-fi in particular that inspired you growing up?
You know, I mentioned Star Trek growing up. I remember in the 1990s, like 1,000 years ago in the 1990s, when I was growing up, I was in university and, you know, it was like hard, right? It's hard being a university student, trying to figure, you know, trying to be successful in university. And I remember, you know, I'd come home at the end of the day and I'd watch Star Trek. It was playing at 5 o'clock, The Next Generation, and I loved it. And the reason why I loved Star Trek, because it was this one show where people thought their way out of problems, right? And that inspired me, right? That people, like every show in The Next Generation, you know, they have this big problem and it's not, you don't punch your way through it like the original Star Trek. You don't punch your way through it, but the team thought their way through it. And I love that. And that I always found that very inspirational as I was in university, because I was trying to think my way through university. And so, yeah, I'd say that that was very much influential to me growing up. That just, let's say, Star Trek The Next Generation. How's that for a throwback?
Absolutely. Now, you have written this book, Duotero, and you have also written, previous to this, you've written short stories.
Yeah.
Was it a difficult leap to go from short stories to a novel? Is it like, you know, doing a 2K going to a marathon?
It's funny. Yeah. For me, short stories are almost a bit of a break, right? And so, yeah, writing a novel is a massive undertaking. It is huge. For me, because I work full time as well, it takes years to get a novel ready to be written. And so what'll happen is I'll write a draft and it'll take like a forever period of time to write a draft. And then I'll go like, whew, and you need to get some distance from it. So after I've written that draft, I'll bang out a couple of short stories. Take me a couple of months, bang out a couple of short stories. And I'll go back and I'll do my second draft. And then I'll be like, whew, that was a couple of months. And I'll go back and I'll sort of bang out a couple of short stories. So it's almost, I don't know, it's a bit of a break, right? It's sort of a lighthearted break. Get your head out of this one story. And it gives you that sense of movement and momentum as well. You know, when you're spending years writing a novel and you have nothing to show for it, being able to kind of pop in these little short stories is like, hey, I am doing something. And you got something to show for it, for your efforts and things like that. So that's kind of the role that short stories for me seem to be like little breaks.
So how do you enjoy the business of writing? And the reason why I ask that is, I mean, here you have a story that is a science fiction novel about the struggles of an abandoned human colony.
Yeah.
And you had a book that was kind of abandoned and orphaned by your original publisher.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. I got nothing but positive things to say about the original publisher. He, you know, he retired and just moved on to a different stage in his life. I love writing. It's just, I got stories in my head and this is just what I do with my time. The business of writing is tough. It's, you know, you got to have some resilience. The business of writing is different from writing. I love the writing and I'm like, oh, I wish somebody else took over the business of writing for me, right? The, you know, the marketing and the publicity and getting all that in place, just so that you have an audience, right? You spend years writing a novel and you're like, I would love for someone beyond my mom to read this, you know, but in order to get a bit of a broader, to get that broader audience, you need to get into the business side of things. And that can be tough. A lot of the toughness is the way I call it is you need to find a home for your story. That's always my goal. And when I say find a home for your story, I mean find somebody who will publish it, right? And so finding a home for your story, finding somebody who loves your story and wants to publish it and get it out to their audience, there's luck and hard work, right? It's there's somebody out there who loves your story in the sea of people. And you got to find that one. You got to find that person. And it's a hunt. It's a hunt. And it takes a long time and it can be relentless. And you get a lot of no thank yous on the way, which kind of beats you down sometimes. But yeah, it's a hunt. It's part of the game. If you want, as I say, for me, it was, I want people to read the stories. I'm putting all this time and effort into it. I want people to read my stories. I think they're good stories. I like my stories. That's why I wrote them. So it's just, yeah, it's part of the game. It's the thing you have to do. You gotta hunt to find a home for it at the end.
And for the record, your mom loves your work, right?
She does, yeah.
Excellent.
She hasn't disowned me yet. No.
For someone who doesn't necessarily enjoy the business side of book writing, and the marketing and publicity of it all, I thank you for taking the time to share with us your story on this show.
This is absolutely fun. I love it. This is a joy. I love talking about writing. It's the process of finding the person who wants to talk about writing. That's hard. When I actually find that person like you, I love it. I'm happy, thrilled to do it.
Well, Brad, thank you for being on the program with us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I love it. And yeah, thank you very much.
Brad C. Anderson, author of the science fiction novel Duotero. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com to the page for this show, which is show number 0672. And you'll find links to Brad's site, plus links to either Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, where you can order his book directly.
You've just heard an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. To hear any or all of the full hour-long shows, visit thestufffile.com. Stuff is spelled STUPH. That's thestufffile.com. A presentation of Flying Fish Communications.